All right, wait. I don't
Welcome
know.
Back.
I don't know what number this is. Welcome back to an episode of the Slide In Podcast where we've got a bunch filmed kind of stacked up. So I think this is going to be 63 or 4.
Yeah.
This is episode 64 of the Slide In Podcast. Good Welcome podcast. Back. I'm Braden Anderson. This is Kelly Gallup. And we have some very exciting news today. Kelly, would you like to share?
Yeah. We got our two new sponsors for the show, which we've been working with. First, Squala. Everybody knows I'm in Squala because I've been wearing it for 3 years. Yeah. And they're on board with us now, which is, I really dig it because I've worked with Kevin and Rich at Squala since the beginning. I didn't have to in the beginning, but they brought me products that, as I said, I'd said it before that, the second I put it on, I could tell they fished.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, it was their RS jacket over their wader, the RS wader. But you reach through the pockets, right, into the internal pocket where your hands, and I immediately saw myself in a tiller.
Yeah.
And like, you're freezing your ass off when I don't even care if it's, doesn't even have to be that cold when you're going up a river and you're always looking for a way to get out of
it. It's like a 20 degree drop
and
when you're moving.
Every spay cat on earth shoves their hand in their pocket, stands with the rod down like their arms broke, right? And so, but it was just really cool. Then we shot that video about stepping out of the wader after, it was, shit, it was like 100 degrees out. We're wading around. And, you know, I always tell that story about how Jerry was, he had, first time he came out, first time in the summer, and he brought neoprenes.
Oof.
And Jerry's a giant guy, right?
Big
dog. And he's sitting there, and he's got these waders, and he goes, hey, dude, pull my boot. I'm like, I don't take men's clothes off. Get over here. I'll kill you. So, okay. Don't tell anybody. I'll look away. And then, so at any rate, we went up there. It's the same time. We took that wader and, man, just stepped out, just reached out, put my foot out, and stepped right out of that wader. I'm like, oh, my God, it works. But it was just, that's why I was really on board, because every single product, I mean, everything we have.
Everything we have.
In the summer, you won't, hardly anybody in this shop doesn't have either shorts or wader pants on.
I wear two pairs of pants.
Yeah.
I wear these, I think this is the Fusion pants. They're the puffy
pants. Oh, the puffy pants?
I just call them the puffy pants.
I almost wore those last week when we shot. Remember how cold
it was?
I
wear these, and then I wear their wading pants.
Yeah.
It's like, that's maybe 80% of my year.
For those of you who know who Johnny is, Johnny can't wreck a pair of them pants.
No.
I mean, he can take a pair of canvas pants and ruin them in a week.
Yeah.
And they don't, there's something about them, whatever's on them, they don't, when you drop your, you know, what's it called, Flyagra or your whatever, you know, Flyagra, fly floating, every freaking piece of clothing I have's got stains on it.
Yeah.
It doesn't stain that.
I don't know why. Those pants, they're kind of like hydrophobic. I don't know.
It's kind of weird when you get in the water and get out, because it's like there's no water.
No, they are.
But I mean, that's everything they did. So, all of our staff, everybody's always, and nobody would do that just if, I mean, companies will give you stuff and guys will wear it, but they don't wear it very long. You know, they go back to what works. And Johnny can't wreck the shit. That's all. He is my litmus test for everything.
Yeah.
Johnny, here's an anvil. Try not to wreck it, right? And if Johnny, he can't wreck a pair of pants, but really cool to be with those guys just because I remember when a certain company was out and they would redesign something. Mm-hmm. And it meant they changed the freaking color of the pocket, move it from here to here, you know, or they put some little stupid tab on that nobody used anyway. And I'm like, that's a redesign, huh? I'm talking four-way stretch, stepping out of my waders, things that work, pockets where they belong. I like function. I don't like stuff that's just like, okay, yeah, that looks cool. But half the time I got a jacket over it. So it's really cool to be on board with these guys.
I mean, yeah, and I think
it's a company you can, I mean, you're pretty rocking it.
Yeah, I'm all squalled out right now. I got their sweatshirt on, which this thing is fleece lined, and I picked it up from Kevin this morning. This is gonna be a swinger's dream. I mean, it's got like kind of some wind cutting ability too.
Spay.
Sorry, Kevin, Squall, and all of our listeners. I'm gonna be in this thing all the time. You know, summers in the morning when it's cold. I'm gonna wear this all winter. I'm gonna ski with it. I'm gonna do all this stuff.
I was ill prepared. Braden didn't tell me we were gonna announce this, but I still had a vest with me and a t-shirt on. I'm surprised. Probably got the jacket over there.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in it, so it was neat. That was easy for us.
And I think a big thing I mean, you and I talk about this stuff behind the scenes, right? Like we wanted to eventually get sponsors for the show. And so we can continue to go out and like shoot fun fishing stuff. Yeah. I mean, Kelly's been paying for the stuff out of pocket for years, I guess a year now. And
you got to get it.
And so, you know, it's important for us for the longevity of the show to sign sponsors. And I swear to God, Kelly and I talk on the phone twice a week about the importance of authenticity. Right. And I know, I think a lot of our fans have come to respect Kelly for his authenticity in this fly world. I mean, across all of the YouTube stuff we've done, the tying stuff, all this, of you don't necessarily need expensive gear, but sometimes it's nice to be in it. Mm-hmm. And
doesn't mean expensive. It's got to be. It's got to be worth it.
It's got to be worth
I'm
it.
I'm not paying $800 to repair a wader or $1,000 to repair waders that don't work.
Right. And so that's
why I have no problem with what I do.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I live in the son of a bitches. I want them to work all day, every day.
Right.
And I don't know anybody. I mean, there's a few. I mean, that would compromise, but nobody I know, especially when you talk about extreme. I mean, summer, who cares, right? The waders, it's cute. Yeah, it's great. Half time, we're not half. Johnny is already in flip flops. Yeah, are you kidding me? Yeah. I mean, we haven't had much of a winter, but Mongo is not right. But he starts wet wading in May.
Right.
I mean, that time we were on the Bighorn, we're dragging our boat over snowbanks like this. Johnny, you got flip flops on. Oh, it'll be warmer later. It's like, no.
Yeah, it's going to get up to 42 but today.
Who's the first guy? And when you see Johnny come in, he's head to toe squalla. Yeah. Because everything works. He can't wear it out. It's something that's $1,000. Hell, there's waders now that are 16. I saw one for.
Yeah, what's that? There's some brand. Yeah, it was $1,600 waders.
No, more than that. $1,840 or something like that. Just great. But if it lasts 5 years or 2 years longer than another wader, whatever, and it's functional, I'm all down with that. But I'm not, you know, there's certain companies that I think are just way too expensive for no legitimate reason.
Right.
There's just no reason. Like people, a perfect example is Whiting Farms with Whiting Hackle. Mm-hmm. Guy, oh, I remember when it was $40 and now it's 100, right? I said, yeah, and there's three times as much hackle as there was when you bought that 40.
Yeah,
and it's all usable. That was an improvement.
And inflation? I mean,
well, even without it.
You're doing fine.
You've tripled or quadrupled the amount of hackle on a neck.
Right.
Because it's so much longer, thinner, better, and there's no junk, right? And the same with this. I mean, just, you know, as I've said, man, you only get a chance to sell out once. The rest of the time, you're out for hire. You know, you're just out for rent. And so it means something to me. It also means that I'm not going to bullshit about it. And and every contract I've ever signed with anybody said the same thing. I said, something shit goes wrong. I'm not going to start telling people, oh, well, sorry about that. It's like, that's bullshit. Yeah. Remember, we had our line company that went south and they started failing.
Yep.
And we started telling them, don't buy these lines. They're junk.
Yep.
I mean, they fixed it. But in the interim, we didn't say, here you go.
Yep.
I mean, they're not going to go and yell at the company. They're going to come back and go, you're a liar,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't dig that.
So long way around the barn. We really believe in the squalla gear. I mean, I remember I had a RS jacket and a medium and I didn't like it. I really didn't like it. And then I decided to buy the large. Love it.
Yeah.
It was a little tight around my neck and I couldn't get layers under it. Well, it turns out it's my fault. I had the wrong size.
Yeah.
But I dig that jacket. And what Kelly was referring to earlier is on a couple of their jackets, I think the Outpost and the RS, they have these vents that go down kind of along your rib cage.
Yeah, I actually called Kevin out on it when he showed it to me.
Yeah.
I said, oh God, not this pit zip shit again.
Yeah.
I thought it was the dumbest thing for a wading jacket. I'm not jogging in my freaking wading jacket. He looks at me and goes, no. I go,
no.
No? And he goes, so I shut up for once and reached in and I'm like, oh God.
Yeah, so it's essentially a pass-through pocket and the logic behind it is it allows you to get your hands into like the fleece-lined pockets in your waders because your body heat gets to there. A lot of times
because the way they put that is fleece on the outside, not on the inside.
Yeah.
So it allows that thermal energy to come through the wader on the inside of you. And I thought that was kind of a, okay, yeah, maybe, I don't know about that. Till the first day we were I forget where
we were. Remember that day we were, it floated down from Varney. It was on Father's Day with Johnny. Like,
oh, this is heavenly.
Yeah.
But that's somebody that, and Kevin and Rich both, Kevin in particular, he's steelheaded as much as anybody I know.
Yeah.
And I mean, he probably spends more time than anybody I know as far as, I mean, he's always going here, going there. He's on the, you know, up on the Bulkley for a month and a clear, I don't care where, if all of a sudden he hears about it, they're there, right? Yeah. Him and his kid. And that means a lot. If you own a company and you are designing shit because your ass is freezing, you're going to fix it.
Yep.
You know?
So yeah. I think it's just true of a lot of their, I mean, I've got so many pieces of their gear now. And
by the way, I wouldn't take the free stuff in the beginning.
I know.
Kelly
doesn't like favors.
You think I'm bullshitting you, but I don't take discounts and I don't take handouts to sway you.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I found out that some guys in our shop were, Johnny cued me that we were getting a little bit too much stuff given to the people in the shop to sway, you know, sway things. I said, ooh, that just ended. I don't. You know, there's a time and a place for that, but don't get bought, you know. Just because it's cheaper or free, don't get bought.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
So at a real high level, I mean, basically, I can't tell you how many light bulb moments I've had with the Squala gear about, like, it's designed by someone who fishes. And both the sweatpants, I've got those. I've got these puffy pants, and I have their wading pants. All of them have these top entry pockets.
Yeah, that was genius.
Genius, because I wear them under waders. And
if you don't know what that means, it's like your jean pockets are down here on the angle.
The side, yeah.
Try to reach through your waders to get down to your keys to that.
Impossible.
Whatever you're trying to get to.
So this is when I realized, and it took me this long, this is when I realized that was a genius design. I used to go swing pipe hole before work when I was living in Ennis every day. And I'd get up there and park at, you know, 4:45 and then run up to the run. And one of the mornings, I'm getting out of my rig, I lean on my tailgate, and I set my car alarm off. And I'm wearing waders. My keys are in my pockets.
Yeah.
And it was only like three honks before I was able to get to him to turn it off. Now, of course, the entire trailer park, some guy stepped out of his camper wearing whitey tidies, and he goes, morning. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, sir. But yeah, that's when it hit me. I remember going back to the slide in or the north slide that afternoon, and I sold a guy a pair of the wading pants just because of that. I told him about my experience that morning, and he's like, oh, that's genius. Yeah, yeah, why would I want
There's
to not
so
be able to get
many,
in my pocket?
So, so many little things that they, you know, you own the company, you can say, oh, I always hated this.
Right.
And you fix it.
Yep.
And
Kevin is, I mean, he's been an industry guy forever, fishes so much. I mean, he's a very smart dude, a great designer. They've got a cool team there. Good guys all around.
And if you haven't seen the Wadium video where I step out of him, it's totally legit.
Yeah. No, it's
that is this huge, I called it the generic wader because.
Geriatric.
Yeah. Would I say generic?
Yeah.
It's kind of generic for old people. You step. I don't care how old you are. Watch people in the summer trying to get up a pair of waders, and they're half time pulling the son of bitches until you're coming inside. You're like, son of a bitch.
I was in Patagonia's for a long time. And those things, I mean, it's like getting ski boots off.
Yeah.
They're suction to your feet.
That's why Jerry said, come over here and pull my waders off. Yeah. I'm not doing that. I'm pretty stoked because, and the other thing about it, I have yet to have somebody come back and bitch about a product and say not as advertised.
Yeah.
And we sell a ton of that stuff.
Yeah, we've been moving.
I mean, the one of my favorite things ever, Charlie Mills, one of my favorite people on the planet. Charlie Mills has been, we've been doing streamer schools, I think, for 18 years. He's been to every single one. We had to make a new, that's why the fourth session, you can't come if you've been before, because I'd ask Charlie, what am I going to say now, Charlie? But Charlie is a diehard, he's a Tulsa guy, but he fishes everywhere.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, my age, he's an older guy, and gets cold, gets this, doesn't, he wants to fish, but product's important. I don't know how much money I've made off Charlie selling him the latest, greatest thing, and he bought the...
Is the Fusion?
The Outpost.
Oh, Outpost, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it the
RS, the really
yeah, yeah, the big
puppy,
the big black
puppy, yeah.
Yeah, RS Outpost,
and he says, this ruined you. He says, he says, this thing's a microwave. He says, I won't have to buy anything again ever.
Oh, it's, it is. I remember going up there a couple of years ago when they had the prototypes of it, and I put it on in their storeroom. And I don't know how cold you can go in that thing, but it's the, I mean,
when
I've
Charlie
had some.
Went during streamer school, yeah, and everybody bailed except Charlie.
Yeah.
Something, because Charlie is smart enough to know this isn't going to be greatest fishing in the world. He doesn't buy into that. You got to suffer to be.
Yeah.
And he says, it's a freaking microwave. That's cool.
All right. Well, that's one of our new partners,
one.
Which we're really excited about their gear, slidein.com. Check them out online at squalla.com, I think. Our second partner, which I think a lot of folks know that we've been partnered with them, but they're now jumping on board to be a podcast sponsor as well, is Hardy. So Kelly's got a reel coming out with Hardy that you guys have been working on for a year now?
More than that. Year and a half.
Year and a half.
Yeah, almost 2 years.
And we should have those pretty soon.
I think March.
Yeah.
I've told the story 100 times, but we're negotiating contracts and finally get to it, get done, right? And similar at the sportsman getting all happified.
Right.
And I told Jake, I says, you're so stupid. He says, what? I says, be the first guy with his name on a fly reel for Hardy? I'd have done it for free. You son of a bitch.
Yeah. No,
if you go back, I mean, there's nothing. We were doing a show and I started thinking about it. I says, I think Hardy's older than the state. I mean, it's a 300 and some year old company.
Yeah, it's...
To me, there's nothing in the fly fishing world that is synonymous with quality and legacy. Nothing. I mean, what can you be? What's older than Hardy? And there's still... every spay guy runs, you know, it's all... I ran them since... when I grew up, that was like as high a cotton as you could get to be... Yeah. If you could say, imagine, my dad got me one when I was, I don't know if Chet had one first, but I was either 15 or 16 for Christmas. Dude, I'm walking out there like, get out of my way. I got Hardy, dude.
Yeah.
You know, you get behind me.
I tell you, I got my first one last year, and that's how I felt. Same thing. I was walking around with my chest puffed out. I'm like, oh, I'm a Hardy
boy. Joe Brooks? Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
But it was like... you know, and I don't know how many Hardys I have. I fish them during the rules week. Always good. That's when we were shooting when Howard and I were last year and we were shooting. I says, and it's July. I said, dude, we got to go film the show. I said, shit, it's rules week or month. And he goes, what? I go, can't break the rules, man. I said, I only fish a Fenwick glass, and it's got to be a 1940 or earlier Hardy. And he goes, that's cool. We own Fenwick too.
That's cool.
I go, sweet. And I've got this old unique one. I think, God, it's just it's not a reel that, it wasn't a collectible. It was one that Gordon gave me. Mm. I mean, he fished it 50 years ago. And that thing, I set up that rod double sword, it goes, rah! And it does this thing. And but to me, I mean, I just really dug the fact that, you know, it's Hardy. There's no excuses. You know, you can't, you know, I fished perfects most of my life, you know, LRH, that's just a reel, you know, it's a click paw reel. The ones that we're designing are much different than that. I mean, I think, you know, Andy Mill swayed me a bit too, because Andy's fished Hardy forever, and especially their saltwater stuff. And Andy could do any place, anything he wants. And he just never failed, you know. And Andy's that type of cat that, how are you going to buy Andy? You know?
No.
He doesn't need the money. doesn't need the fame. Doesn't need anything. No. You're not going to say, hey, we'll put your picture on something. You know, good luck. Yeah. So have 100,000 other people. But it was like, yeah, that's kind of cool. And the guys, but the really key thing was that when you get to, it's Howard Croston. Howard,
right. I think that's the key to this.
Howard, again, he's worked for Hardy forever, and his signature's on everything somehow.
This episode is brought to you by Hardy. Founded in 1872 in Alnwick, England, Hardy is one of the most respected names in fly fishing. They spent over a century doing things properly. Hardy rods and reels are built with a deep respect for craft and tradition. There's a quiet confidence to their gear, clean lines, purposeful designs, and performance that doesn't need explaining. This is equipment made by people who understand that fly fishing is as much about feel and restraint as it is about power. When you fish Hardy, you're fishing a lineage that stretches back generations, refined over time, shaped by rivers, and trusted by anglers who care deeply about quality. If you're drawn to gear with real heritage, thoughtful craftsmanship, and unmistakable British roots, take a look at Hardy. Some things are worth doing the right way.
I don't think much goes through that company where he doesn't take.
No, I mean, he's a lead product designer. Yeah. He holds a bunch of titles there, and he is. I mean, we've seen it.
Notwithstanding that world champion one.
We've talked about it endlessly. He's one of the best casters in the world, and that's not anecdotal. I mean, that is.
No, that's proof.
He's that good. I mean, he's
as they say, he has the trophy.
He has the trophy. he's really good.
But when you fish with him,
yeah.
And you're talking, when we're talking the product, there is no ambiguity. Mm-hmm. He tells you exactly, like when he hands me a rod and he says, try this. And we were doing some prototype stuff. And he's so analytical, right? He goes, well, whenever you're designing rods, you take four pieces and you start putting them together. Scott, I hate this. And he goes, it's all right, I got it. He says, I know it's when you're, so he gives me the next one. He says, that's right, I got it.
Yeah.
I says, good. I'm not gonna. Yeah. He watched me cast, but that's like, you know, Bruce or him or Tim or one of those guys or so. And he watched me cast. He goes, you are going to want this section changed.
Yeah.
And I'd cast it and it's a little tight. He goes, yeah, he's already got the other piece with it. Yeah. He goes, here, let's do this one. So, I mean, it's just cool because there again, just, you know, much like Squala, I'm working with people that fish. And then you get to pick on Al and Jake.
Yeah,
what the hell? Nothing can be, if you don't get, is that already out, that fishing show?
No, those are coming out.
One.
So those will be coming
they're
out.
They're ruthless. They're
ruthless
to one another, which is just absolutely
funnest
part. Right? It's just like the funnest part of the whole deal. I think I just said funnest part.
You did.
That's all right. The funnest part of that. But I mean, to get to design a reel with Hardy, I mean, from my generation, that was never going to happen. That's not something that's going to happen to some regular dude, right? And it's like, it's just like, I don't even know how to describe it.
You know,
it's kind of like if I could have walked up and met Joe Brooks, like, holy shit.
It's like getting a Ferrari named after you. Or what? I mean, there's so many ways to equate it. I mean, Hardy is synonymous with top of the line and has been forever. It's not just this company steeped in legacy and tradition. Yeah. Like, their new stuff is great. I'm fishing their new reels right now. I've been throwing their spay rods. Like, they are, I mean, they're great.
They have the designers that are, I mean, it's Howard and...
Yeah.
And if it's not Howard, it's somebody in that caliber over there.
Do you remember Howard talking about, he actually might have just been mentioning this to me. We were out in the parking lot one day and he was helping me out with some distance stuff. And I was throwing that Echo Traverse kit, still a great rod, horrible line, right? It'd been in the parking lot. I mean, that line
is 3 years.
Trashed. It's been on dirt and rocks and everything forever. And he throws and he goes, oh, that's just terrible. about the line. But we were casting into the wind. And he said, whoever there, maybe it's the guy second in command to Howard when it comes to rod designing, but whenever they have one, ready to test, he makes Howard go out and throw it into the wind. And just like test in adverse conditions right off the bat, not some...
Sure.
Windless casting pond. But just, you know, start to finish, they're great. And then I think, you know, we should also cover for the, I'm sure we're gonna have some people writing in saying, how are you partnering with Hardy when you promote inexpensive rods and saying you don't need $1,000 rods?
They got plenty of inexpensive rods.
They've got
lots of $500 rods, but I'm not partnered with the rod company. I'm partnered with the reel company.
Right.
I'm partnered with both.
But it's also, we said this over and over, you don't need expensive rods. Doesn't mean they're not nice.
Yeah.
Right? Like they're...
I never called out the companies. I said the same thing. I just said, you don't have... To me, it was a stumbling block for people to get into the business thinking that they had to buy a $1,000 rod. And it just happened to coincide with that Echo Traverse that I absolutely loved.
Right.
Again, A, my rods are $500 and some.
Yep.
The Echo Traverse is 250 or whatever it is, rod, reel, line, and all that, right?
Yep.
And so, but then there's plenty of, you know, reels out there, rods out there, there's everything. Again, like you said, it doesn't mean that you don't, I say I fish the Traverse a lot, right? Doesn't mean I don't have every other, I've worked for every company in the business. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I've got tons of those really nice rods. Doesn't mean they're my favorite flex. I fish the rod I flex the most, that I like the flex of.
Yep.
And I like reels that do a specific job. I want, I like different audibles on the drag than on the reel. I hate, and that comes from guiding with people. There's one thing, I was talking to some kids in the shop a couple of days ago, and they're talking about gear fishing. I had a guy was teaching him how to throw a swim bait, and he gets a fish on, and he tries to reel backwards. Well, that guy needs help, right? And when you're fishing, when you're guiding and fly in particular, with most people, a spinning rod or bait caster get it, right? Mm-hmm. This guy kind of freaked when the fish saw the fish. And he kept trying to go backwards. Says, "That ain't gonna work. It doesn't go." But when I would be guiding, in particular at night for a hex hatch, I'd get a fish on. The client would, and they're generally big fish because that's what you're fishing for, and it's dark. And if I would hear them reeling the wrong direction, and I don't know what about dark is that made them do it so much, but I mean, it wasn't now and then.
Right.
It was a lot. And sometimes even people that shouldn't be doing it, right?
Yeah.
And I liked the idea. I like reels that free spool in. Yeah. Somebody will write in and tell me about it, I'm sure. But they asked me twice, "Aren't you afraid of creep?" And they said it's about guys are worried the reels that spin in. I think reels should just be completely free spool on the way in. Mm-hmm. Tap that. I like to hit that fan at one time and pick up. If I could pick up 30 spools, that'd be great.
Yeah. Whew,
just done, right? Because I'm in the boat watching the fish. I don't want to be looking for shit around my feet. Crack that thing and here it comes. But then when all of a sudden you're on tight, especially if I'm watching somebody, you go tight on that reel and all of a sudden, you know, I want to hear that drag's going out. You don't mm-hmm. always, you're not always able to see it when you're in a boat and you're guiding somebody. So I like it to have I don't like to have the noise be very much on the in. Mm-hmm. I like to know, you know, and my drag isn't like super loud, like a traditional Hardy, like a Perfect or something like that. It's just, and I did a thing on reels once about low end, high end, medium and all that. And I said, you know, they're so good. Virtually all reels nowadays are so good that audible's my number one thing.
Yeah.
You
want to like the sound of it.
Yeah, and that's completely, that's like the difference between
personal preference.
Alice in Chains or whatever you are and Merle Haggard, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's what you like the sound of. Jake mm-hmm. and I got in this huge argument about music the other day. So he goes, I said, Jake, you know, he says, it's what you like. I said, exactly. And it's no different than reels,
mm-hmm.
right? I remember I used to hate this, what's the big steelhead Hardy that, I don't remember the name of it.
Bugle?
No, that wasn't a Bugle. It was, I can't remember, Harry Lemire had one. And I says, why do you guys all run those? Because I was young, cool, and I wanted something that wasn't Hardy, right? I had switched out of Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all my life, that's all. I never got rid of them.
Right.
But I was like looking for the cool kid reel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, I says, is it the noise? And he basically just looked at me. It was like, nah, I'm not going to answer
you
this.
Just
you're too stupid.
Know.
Yeah. But it's everybody's got their own deal. Everybody likes what they like.
Yeah.
But that medium tones doesn't tend to offend anyone, right? The super loud, you know, everybody likes a Bugle. I mean, if you steelhead fish, everybody likes the sound, right? Just part of the deal. But it's just, personal, whatever it is. And so I got to do all that stuff, and that was really cool. Yeah. I mean, so, and then working with them, everything they've done to date, everything has been, they're just, I think it's the three, the Al, you know, Jake and Howard, all of them have that same mentality. And so when they say, okay, it's like they've never once showed me the reel and said, well, we did this. Well, I didn't ask for that,
right?
We didn't say, okay, we'll do this. Is that, how much can you change one,
yeah,
right? Says, all I want to do is be nice and smooth. I don't like super heavy drags. I don't like to see people doing that. Mine's got one, but it can go there. But there's just the size and shape and everything I wanted on it. And it's hardy, for God's sakes.
It's hardy.
You don't really have, it's like you say, you don't have to back up to anything. You don't have to back up, say, hey, it's this. No, it's
hardy.
It's hardy. It's perfect.
Yeah, it makes me, when I got my first one, it almost felt like I was joining some sort of, like, cult or fraternity or something of esteemed gentlemen, you know? Yeah. I was like, I'm a hardy man now.
I don't know about that part.
No, but
met Al?
No, but you know the feeling I'm...
Sorry, Al. Don't kick my ass.
You know the feeling I'm getting at, right? It's just it's like I was a kid on Christmas, and when it comes down to it...
I was
talking to Jake about this, because when we were talking about announcing this, he's like, yeah, I mean... somebody's going to be angry at you guys because, you know, you said you don't need $1,000 rods or $500 reels or whatever. And you don't. But guess what? You can have a Timex. There's still people that like Rolexes.
I tried so many people. I went back and watched this. I didn't say there was anything wrong with getting those.
No.
But my point is you're starting out, you know, you're in college. Like in the old days when people actually had to work to go through college. Now I think it seems like everybody's on free vacation. But when you had to work to get through college, but that's when you get to fish, right? You're in college, you got your summer. Used to be, you couldn't afford, and it's like kids would come in the shop and look at these rods, you know, especially there was a big trend, man. It swept really quickly up. And it's, I mean, just a starting point with 7+ bills, right? Mm-hmm. They don't fish enough. They don't, it's not, they're not into the job market yet. They can't. And you can get a performance stick that is, or real. You can do it now. You couldn't do it in the old days. Before the Korean influence on products, you could not do it. Mm-hmm. You got junk and then you got, good. You know, good.
Yeah.
And good came with a price tag. By the way, Rob Gooden sent me this thing the other day about buddy of mine over in Wisconsin, and he sent me a 1941 or 1931 catalog, and it had fly rods, $15 and 35. So I looked up, I was pretty sure I knew, it's right in the beginning of the Depression, all that, right?
Yeah.
A monthly salary, right, was basically this rod.
Right.
And it still is today. When you look up the national average.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it scaled up. I looked up 2025, right? Here it was, 2026 now, but looked up that and I'm like, well, there you go. It was like 15. So a week's wages, I said a month, it's a week's wages to get a fly rod.
Yes. Yeah, so $15 then is like $350 today.
Yeah.
$320 and so, or something. Yeah.
So I never said that there was any, that you, it was bad to buy. God, I would like to know how many sages I have, right? Having worked for them and sold them since I first opened my shops. I've got tons.
I've been in your garage.
I've gave most of them away. Yeah. I mean, just there's, but at any rate, I never said that there was something wrong with it. I just said, you don't have to do it.
Yeah.
You do not have to. I mean, $500, that's what we'd tell kids when they come in. Say, ah, man, I really want to get this stick. I said, well, what if you get this one? You can still get a really good reel,
right,
and a line, right, and you still haven't paid for that rod. But when you get out of college and you go to the workforce and you want one, great.
Yeah, I mean, at a bare minimum, like if you're worried about spending the $250 on a rod, then Hardy's probably not for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, how many? There's very few companies that do that.
Right.
And it's got to be a Korean stick. For those who don't understand that, Reddington, Echo, Douglas, I don't know what Douglas, Douglas, almost everybody that isn't one of the big four has been in Korea. They've got great designers. They got great graphite. They got great everything. And almost all the reels come out of Korea. I mean, all you gotta do is look at the freaking label on it. All Sages do.
Yeah.
I mean, look at their reels. They're great. Yeah. They're great reels. Just what it is. So that's the beautiful thing about our industry now, though. You actually can get into it.
Yeah, there's some variety.
Yeah, you can.
Price variety.
Somebody was telling me about going getting their ski boots fitted for $700. I'm like,
oh, that's
fitted?
Cheap.
Yeah.
My ski boots were $1,100, and I put probably $600 into getting them fit.
Yeah.
Like just.
No, this was a fitting.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
a fitting. I'm like, I mean, a fitting? What the hell are you talking about?
I got back 16 times, and it's supposed to be free after the first one, but I feel bad taking up the time, so I tip them every time.
Well, I'd hope.
Yeah.
But for $600, it better be right. But it's the same thing. It's just like, it's your passion. It's, you know, the whole idea of this is like anything else on earth. You don't have to, but you're going to.
What was
you
your did, line
you
about,
buy a, huh?
Sorry, total aside. What was your line about passion? Wasn't some of your clients say that?
Oh, they all used
fly fishing is their passion.
They would say their passion is their. This is my passion. And they fished, you know, twice or four times a year. And I says, you ought to look up the root meaning of this, the root word. Passion is, if you're as passionate about this as you at home, somebody else is helping you out. Just like, something's not right.
That's a really funny thought map to go from you suck at fly fishing to somebody stuffing your wife.
I didn't say that. I just said somebody's helping. But, yeah, but. It's a really, and it's one of the, kind of back to our Bucky show when I talked over Bucky too much. I'm having him back on. I'm going to have actual questions for him. When we're doing this in freelancing, it's too easy to start just like your bar talking. But what was I just going to say about that? I'm crazy. The industry, I don't know. That's what I was thinking about. It's just about the, would you want to start over again? Mm. You know, that was one thing I said I was going to go home and think about. I had never stopped thinking about that question.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I would say today's beginning angler steps into, I don't care what rod kit it is better than anything I had until I was in my probably 20s. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even, well, maybe not my 20s, until like, I don't know, late 70s, early 80s. Even in that late 70s, the rods were pretty, they aren't like, other than Fenwick, they weren't really that great. And neither was all the other stuff that we had. All the reels were just, they just didn't, that all started so late. And it was so freaking expensive when it first comes out.
Yeah.
You know, it was just so prohibitive for somebody, you know, 16, 17, 18, you know, years old. That is one thing about today's generation. They step in with quality products. Mm-hmm. And at a really reasonable, like any of the kit rods, Cortland's guide. I took Cortland's that 6-weight. Remember when we shot the big hole thing?
Yeah.
I took that rod and it kind of like, I've been fishing it ever since.
Yeah.
It's a great, it flexes for me. It's just how I like it. Not for everybody. Everybody's got the, just like the Audible on a reel. Everybody's got their deal.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their rod shape. They like, you know, their flex zones. But it's there for, because you can go to, there's five companies making these rods. Mm-hmm. And there's how many reel companies out there making low-end reels? So it gets you started.
Yep.
I mean, Howard Crossan didn't start with one.
No.
Howard started with junk just like I did.
Yep.
Al did. Everybody did.
Yeah.
You probably didn't.
I did.
What was your rod?
Well, it was the very first rod I had. I think it was a Sage Foundation.
Yeah, that's like a.
But it had the little like plastic no name reel on it.
Yeah, yeah, that thing was junk.
Yeah,
but the foundation was a pretty well. I'm not so sure that wasn't the RPL. I think they rebranded that. I think that went from. So you had a good taper with, you know, but you just used lesser componentry, mm-hmm. and so you still got. I'm pretty sure the foundation, I'm not positive, I have to ask Kurt about that. Well, 10,000 people are going to answer me in a minute. But not everybody knows that they redesign off the same mandrel.
Right.
You can change the flag a little bit, but you'll get a good flex, right? But we beat that up.
Yeah, so thanks to our new partners.
Very excited with the Hardy thing.
Yeah.
Very.
No, I am as well. And I've been throwing Hardy spay rods for about a year and a half now. And
soon we'll have all of them.
Ooh, man, they're so sweet. The first one I got was a 6.7 ultralight, 12.5 footer. And I mostly throw 12.5 foot 7 weights for trap because I like to turn over big bugs. Now, this has changed a little bit, but what's so cool about that rod is it can turn over a bug like a 7 weight. It can turn over a heavy fly. It is as light and feels like a 3 weight in the hands. Mm. So it's just this, it's so smooth. You can't describe it until you throw one, truly.
You're such a geek.
I am. I'm a huge geek. I'm a big nerd about fly fishing.
Nerd. So now we can actually go podcasting.
Yes. Yeah, hopefully that didn't just seem like an advertisement. I mean, we're...
Kind of is.
It is. But we're genuine about that stuff. And like,
yeah, but I mean, it's fun. We'll talk about product.
Yeah.
Well, more, but not really. I mean, on the fly fishing show, we do. But
no, I mean, we'll talk about some of their stuff every once in a while. We're going to have ads. You've heard them by now, but ads laced into this stuff from Hardy and Squala. But yeah, at the end of the day, they're great partners. We're super excited to be with them. And, you know, we chose them because we really believe in their stuff. I mean, I don't want to be...
I believe in their people.
Yeah, I believe in their people. Yeah. It's both, right? Their people
and
their gear.
The stuff's been around for 100 years. Yeah. Well, I've seen Hardy and Squala. Squala's really new, but Kevin's not new to that world.
No. Kevin's been involved with a lot of
the biggest companies in the world.
Yes.
And Rich was with Sims for a long time, I think 15 years or something like that. And it's a very small company. And I tell you, as big as you think, at least I thought, as big as you think Hardy is, it's tiny.
Yes, I mean, Jake, Al.
Yeah, I mean, there's a handful of people. And then I don't know the other two components of Squala, but it's Rich and Kevin and two more
Scott's
people.
Scott's hanging out there. I met Jack this morning. Okay. Yeah, there's like.
Yeah, I've not met. I did.
I think it's like a 7 to 8.
Is
I
it?
I don't know. But it's.
It's cool. It's not.
It's cool.
It's. When Hardy came to me, I'm thinking, oh, God, you know, 200 Brits talking funny to me.
Right.
You know, and it's like, not so much. It's,
and that's still, the final cool note is like, you have an issue with something with Squala gear. You call, you're going to speak to Jack. And he's sitting in their headquarters in Bozeman, Montana.
Yep.
Yeah. If you ever are driving out to Bridger Bowl, turn left at that last light and wave. That's where they are. Yeah.
And not some giant corporate thing.
No, they didn't take the Squala sign off and put a investment fund sign up on their building.
No.
We won't mention who did that.
And ruined the company.
Yes.
So back to
Squala Hardy, thank you guys for being partners. Yes, we're super excited about it. And we've got more fly show stuff
coming
soon.
Now we can afford to shoot our fly show.
Now we can afford to shoot our fly shows. Well, Kelly's a happy guy.
We can afford maybe even buy you lunch now.
That'd be great. Yeah. Tired of eating cabbage soup. All right, let's jump into some questions that we had. This is actually a comment I just wanted to start with from Born Fishy on YouTube. He says, let's be honest, indicators equal bobbers, streamers equal MEP spinners. I don't think we need to take
don't. They equal Rapalas.
Yeah, you idiot. You're right on the indicator bobber thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I always call them bobbers.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody who calls it a strike indicator.
Yeah, whatever.
It made me think of, I can't say who it was because I have so much respect.
I thought we were over this because everybody went to Euro, so nobody, I thought we were over the whole worrying about what it's called, but
no,
go for it.
I don't want to mention who this is because I have so much respect for the man himself. And I know he has partners. This is an interesting
guy
industry.
We're talking, that's
different. No, it's a different guy. I don't really want to allude to who he is because he is
the man.
Yeah,
whatever, what's the question?
He made a video about trying to sell this slinky indicator.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's when I was like, there's some bullshit in this industry. And the slinky, calling it an indicator.
Yeah.
Yes. I hate it. Bobbers. All right. That's
rotation device. But it's not a MEP spinner. It is, streamers are, they are more akin to a crankbait. Body baits.
Right.
Swim baits. Glide baits, all those groovy things you can do with a streamer if you would stop pulling the rope.
Also, there's another thing I wanted to mention. I think we chatted about this briefly, but there was a guy on the episode with Bucky who was commenting about how piss poor the audio was.
Yeah.
And called me out. One, thanks to our dogs. There are a lot of guys that have my back there. And
he's right.
We got dogs. We got dogs on YouTube. Yeah, so thank you guys.
He's right.
He is right.
Our audio sucks. We've been doing it on a shoestring forever.
Yeah.
But the new store, well, that's still the question. How do we move? I've been sitting in this thing forever, right? Yeah. But the new one will have actual
sound equipment.
I mean, full disclosure, I didn't want to do this podcast, and I never did. It took 8 years to get me to do it. Been on hundreds of them. I didn't think it would stick. Yeah. I really didn't. I didn't think we would stick. I thought, well, that'd be fun for two or three and nobody'd watch. And it's okay, screw it. We'll just go do fishing. But so we it's only been a year. Yeah. So now it's like, okay, it seems to be getting some legs. We'll stick with it and we'll upgrade it and we'll have an actual, I just don't know if we're going to, I don't know how we move this set, which by the way, got a really cool new one. I will talk about it now. Greg Senyo sent me his patch and his badges and a fly. Greg, thank you. And a very touching letter. But Greg, I want to do more fly tying videos, but as anybody that's ever watched knows, it's hard for me to get through a fly without mentioning Greg Senyo because his materials are unparalleled. I mean, he's just the best. But he was a cop forever and he quit, retired. And he went back. He said, nobody wants to do the job anymore. Thought, how cool is that?
Yeah.
Going to go out and put himself on the line. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's
so
badass.
I don't know where that came from, but I just, there it is.
What were we talking about?
The
new studio.
Yeah, the new studio. I don't know how do you do that? How do we pluck this out of there and just go? Do we start all new, take some of the really cool stuff, leave some of it?
I mean, I think we obviously continue to shoot fly tying stuff.
And, yeah, that's always
and still shoot stuff here. But it would be nice, especially in the summers. For us, it's hard to shoot podcasts in the summers because the shop's full all day.
Yeah. And you want to go fish at night.
Yeah, and with better acoustics, like we do want to have good sound and good audio, good visuals and stuff.
So who was the cat that gave you the shit?
I don't remember.
Whatever your name is, I immediately went into the shop yesterday or 2 days ago, whenever I saw it, and I said to Johnny, did you see this? And he goes, yeah, you guys need to up your A game. And then Chris says, yeah, your audio sucks. You need to get new equipment. I'm like, oh, you guys are beating me. This is kind of painful.
Yeah, I mean, he's right.
He was.
But, yeah.
So it will be better. Actually going to get this stuff, huh?
Paul said, I thought Braden was a media person. This audio is garbage. He's lived up to his often wrong, rarely in doubt badge.
Yeah, you used the line. You threw that on yourself.
Yeah, well, whatever, I am. but I had a couple dogs backing me up there. I sent him a very passive-aggressive note because sometimes it's fun to respond to comments. But I'd also like to point out, I'm a fish guy.
The rat hole.
I'm not a media guy. I'm a fish guy.
Braden came to me and said he wanted in this industry, and he thought we should do this and convinced me and learned on the fly.
Yeah, I'd never touched a camera.
He'd never done anything, and just Johnny helped a little. I'm sure Chris, Jeremy.
No, Jeremy a little bit. Nobody else, yeah. Jeremy showed me how to turn the camera on and press record.
Yeah, and how you got and had to learn to edit the stuff like the shows. So, Nikki helped a little.
Yeah,
Nicky Mills
and Will Phelps helped me.
Yeah,
a bunch.
April's guy.
Yep.
And but that's to just absolutely nothing unless let's go for it. You know.
So the backstory that I went over to Kelly's house one night, and I had made a PowerPoint as I do, and I basically pitched Kelly on like 10 different ways I could try to increase business to the website, increase traffic or help the business in different ways, whatever, outside of working retail in the shop. And there was a lot of pretty harebrained stuff in there, but the idea of this fishing show stuck. And then, Chris had the idea of a podcast long before I showed up.
8 years ago.
And we'd talked about it a bunch. And then one day I told Kelly we're going to film some stuff at the desk, and we just walked in and I said, Kelly, we're filming a podcast. If it sucks, we won't put it out. And we did one that day, I think, and it went well, so we did more. Yeah, and our audio, we're working on it. We're going to get some new equipment. One more time,
tell us what you think about the new studio.
I built
the new shop, which you will see, will be the world's biggest fly shop in Ennis, 10,000 square. It has an entire second floor dedicated to podcast and video. But there's no way I'm shooting a fly tying thing without this.
There's too
many people back there. It's not, this thing's like at its own life. I didn't put any of the shit back there, in case you're wondering. That's one of my buddies thought that Eric thought that I did my own streamer Jesus. Also, I says, you.
did you ever notice this sticker?
Which one? Yeah.
You did? Okay. I snuck that back there one day.
It's been there for a couple months, hasn't it?
Yeah. It was this summer. I can't even remember at this point who the guys were that dropped it off, but they said it was their buddy, and they just made a sticker of it. Wanted to see if they could sneak it back there.
It's back there.
Yeah.
But a lot of that stuff, I mean, the only thing that's back there that I did was my girls. Well, Billy sent his, but a lot of that stuff was, I mean, it started up, I could find the original. It was like there was two trout, that brook trout and that brook, which are both carbines that I just made to go in the back there for something to bust this thing up a little bit. And all this stuff's just been dropped up. I've said it on several podcasts. It's like Jeremiah Johnson's, when he goes to the crazy ladies, and she's gone.
Yeah, I've seen that.
You've not seen the movie, piece of shit.
I know.
Jeremiah Johnson goes to the settler's house, and he's protecting it, and they're all holed up. And he finally, at any rate, he gets to it, and he goes, what's that? He says, might early, aren't they? Because it's a grave. He goes, it's not a grave like the others. It's more like a monument. He says, we just wake up, and there's another piece of bone. It's just like this thing. Yeah. I look up and I go, where'd that come from? It's just people send it. I mean, it's really cool when people send the stuff, but it's like, it's got soul. You want to know what a Euro nymph doesn't have? That.
Right.
That's got, I mean, it's disarray. It's half the shit. I don't know.
Is there a Euro nymph up there?
There should be.
One tied by Doc or?
There will be. Yeah, so
somewhere.
Somewhere there'll be something.
Yeah, there's a couple.
But I mean,
there's a ton.
There's a ton of when we did kill the coronavirus thing.
Right.
All the winter flies and stuff like that. How do you?
We should do another fly tying competition.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah. We'll do it.
Yeah.
Maybe next year.
We'll plan something. Maybe we could tie that in with the re-grand opening.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Back to questions.
Right. Back to
Is there
questions.
An actual technical question? Is there something in here about fishing? We've been shooting our mouths off for a long time about nothing.
All right. Here's one. Ian McIver, I think, on Instagram said, this is a question for Kelly and Braden that I'd love to hear about on the podcast. What are your thoughts on using a snap swivel attachment to a streamer to make it easier to quickly switch flies? Kelly talks a lot about switching colors constantly when streamer fishing. Even when you think you're on them. Similar to most, I grew up gear fishing and still do from time to time on the lakes. Kelly, have you ever tried using a snap swivel on your streamer setup? If so, how did it work out? If not, what has stopped you from doing so? As I'm sure the thought has crossed your mind. Thank you.
Yes, I have. I think most people have. And I've also used a snap swivel to me is a swivel with the snap in it, but a lot of people call the snap part of it, and I can't remember what they're called. But they sound,
somebody called them like streamer clips.
I've used those. I've used one, and I tell you, I don't know why, I have no problem with either of them. The swivel to me is just a little clunky up front, but it's quick. I don't have a dislike for them. I know several people.
Rio calls them fly clips.
Fly clips.
Scientific Anglers calls them locking snaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Locking snaps. I'm privy to because that, and it's not something for fly fishing. That's been around for a long time. Had nothing to do with you know, lots of people used them, but snap swivels came out when you had heavier spoons and spinners, like a MEPS spinner that would twist the living shit out of your stuff, right?
Right.
A body bait doesn't need it so much, it doesn't go in a circle.
Right.
And so, but then the onset of a lot of the diving flies, Swimmy Jimmy, D&D, the flies that can go in a circle like that, they'll spin the shit out of your stuff. Mm-hmm. And if you're not privy to letting it straighten out below you, so I see no problem with it whatsoever. Just, I've said this before about my leaders aren't that long, and the snap, you know, the locking swivel thing, I don't change the knots. And I change, you know, and you're going through your fly selection so fast, I kind of like as I go back, I use up my leader, and it just tells me, okay, I look at things a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And I have used snap swivels. I've used them. I think Russ used to use them quite a bit. I think it was Russ used them quite a bit. I don't see any detriment and or including rather small flies. I really don't think the fish look at your swivel or your line. And I can see how a swivel could accentuate a pulling the head down a little bit on small flies, but I don't see any problem with it. I just personally like to go, you know, I got 3 foot a leader, right? Mm-hmm. And I change up the fly, and now I got 12 inches a leader. Well, good time to just stop, break, and change everything. Butts, everything, right? It takes you a minute to do, you know, put a butt section and tie it to the next one and go, and you're done, right? So that's always been why I do it. Doesn't mean I know a lot of people that use the snap thing. Mm-hmm. A lot. We sell them. We sell a lot of them.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people use those on nymph fishing. And the little ones, that tiny one.
Yeah.
There used to be one that had it was just kind of wrapped over itself, right? You just snapped it on like that.
Yeah.
They didn't lock.
Like this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just snapped your fly over it. That one we used to use for bluegills, no problem. I wouldn't do that one. The other ones though that actually snap around itself, I don't think you could. If you broke that,
you got other problems.
Yeah. I mean, you can't. And that's what everybody says. Or they used to say they rust. Yeah, if you leave the son of a bitch on for a year, it's going to rust something. The hook will too.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But
these things won't last forever.
No.
You still got to change it up sometimes.
I think what I'd do with that fly, when I found that treasure trove of, I had a fly that we had that I showed it sometime, where we spiraled the hair in a corkscrew, and that had a swivel on it.
What was that? It was in a...
That was something Johnny and I were...
Yeah.
It was just deer hair head, and I trimmed it around in a circle so the fly would go like this. Be great. Musky fools didn't pick up on it. Why didn't they fix it? One of you guys fix it. Bam, bam. Get on it.
So the... I think at a high level, right? Like, spinny flies... They're great for as long as they have the swivel component.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the, like, I've got a buddy, Josh, up in Bozeman, who uses them on spey flies just to switch them out real fast. And to me, it comes down to two things. Like, one, you're not going to change your leader setup, and you can have abrasions on it. It can be in the sun for a long time. I mean, you can run a butt section for a long time. But if you're hunting big fish, it would just be the worst thing in the world to break an old butt section because you weren't changing it out because of swivels or something. So
that's why I don't do it.
Yeah. I've ran swivels.
And in particularly in the spey world, spey is counterintuitive to speed.
Right.
I mean, you guys move like freaking glaciers.
It's funny. But I also any moment not with, like, not spent with that fly coming across.
You're not floating the freaking river and missing water. You're standing in the freaking water. You got plenty of time to tie a freaking knot.
I know, but what if that sun comes out from behind the cloud in the next 2 minutes? Whatever. Yeah, whatever it is, I'm always rushing.
Peter puffers.
But what I think is, I don't know how much time it really saves you if you're effective at tying knots. Yeah. 10 seconds?
If you can't tie a knot in 15, 20 seconds, 20 seconds, it better be a half a freaking bimmy.
Yeah.
But you need to practice your knots. But
yeah.
But that's just old school crap. You know, that's old guy talking shit. But I have a method to my madness, and I like to, just like you said, I like to see things progressing. It's like I start looking at the butt, because it's easy to never look at a butt section, mm-hmm. and particularly in the styles that you and I are doing like that, you know, or a dry fly.
Leaders. I mean, I've gone an entire year with the same butt section.
Sure. It's 20 pounds. You mean streamers or?
Streamers.
Yeah, it's 20 pound. I mean, it's hard to.
I've done it my own nymph setup too.
But you can also step on your leaders. You can also get them under shit in your boat, right. and you don't notice it. And I have broke butt sections. I've never broke ever on a fish. Broke very few fish on anything. I mean, like, broke one off. But losing it's one thing. But breaking a fly off on 12-pound maxima, something went wrong with you.
You can tie a shitty knot. And
you can double overhand grannies, and they'll hold. It will hold.
Yeah.
And so when a line breaks on 12-pound, see, aren't tarpon. We're talking trout here. When it breaks, it's on you. It's you. And so the familiarity to your product, your tool, anything you do, you should, that's why I don't do it. If you're that cat that can go, oh yeah, I've had 5 fish on this, I should probably change that knot on that swivel.
Right.
Am I keeping you up?
No.
You keep yawning.
Yeah, I took NyQuil last night.
Yeah? It's not last night.
What's that? Yeah, I'm groggy from it.
Great. He's going home on 287. Get
I haven't slept in like 2 months, Kelly. Cut me some slack, okay?
Get your whining.
Wah, wah, wah.
Next question.
All right, let's jump into one more quick question. Actually, you want to shout out Olivia?
Olivia. Oh, yeah. She kicked your ass.
Yeah, of course she
this
did.
This is hilarious. Olivia May, Olivia May Designs. Olivia is the gal who does a lot of our stickers. We talked about her before on one of them, where she's a young gal, and she's, you know, saving up to buy fishing stuff and fishing cars and put herself through college, blah, blah, blah. So we started promoting her products, and she wrote me to thank me how many people wrote in. Olivia May Designs, it was a cool story. She sent a letter in saying that dad doesn't believe in charity and had to get a job and pay her way through her life, right?
Awesome.
And she did it. And I saw that letter. I told Johnny, buy a bajillion of them. And they sell. They're really cool. She's got really, she sent Johnny a hat, Net Ninja. I love, that's remember great. That one, the Net Ninja sticker? Yeah. But any rate, she called Braden out pretty hard. She goes, I sent you and Braden a mug, even though Braden doesn't rock my stickers. And I was like, ooh, ouch. Went over and put one on mine immediately.
Sorry.
I thought that was pretty cool.
I'll get one on here somewhere. I got it stuck with the...
Your mouse.
The slide.
But she sent them to... And she sent Johnny hat. And she wanted... She had a request with it that she wanted for a fundraiser, maybe that we would send her a hat and even have Johnny sign it. That was pretty
She's
fun.
Really taking care of the people who need help, huh?
Yes.
check her out online. It's oliviamaydesigns.com, and May is M-A-E. I'm looking at her website. She's got hats. She got brown trout on canvas. Yeah, this Net Ninja. The mugs are great. They're super high quality. Yeah, they're cool.
That was pretty cool.
Cool stuff. So thanks, Olivia.
Young kid working her butt off, and she's in... They got an all-girls wrestling team, and she's in the wrestling team.
She definitely kicked my ass.
I told you that. You better get a sticker on that thing.
No, I'll definitely get a sticker on there. And these mugs are just, I mean, this is cool.
They're really cool. Stuff.
They're neat. So.
I just dig it. It's a kid doing, and she hit me up for it was for a fundraiser for Kalamazoo TU. In Kalamazoo, cool. Michigan, Kalamazoo Trout Unlimited is the first place I ever did a professional speaking.
Wow. How'd that
go? Dr. Brown. It was great. Brown let it off. He dropped 3 F-bombs before I was scared to death. I was 20 years old.
Yeah.
And he drops 3 F-bombs, gets up, and he goes, which before it was in vogue. I mean, this is in the 70s sometime. And they're all doctors.
Yeah.
Everybody there's a doctor. Right? Big research area down there. And he got up, and he said, so if you son of a bitch would shut up and listen, you learn something this fucking... And I'm like, oh, God. And his wife's just sitting there having a drink. Ellen, he's just having a party, right? And I had complete attention. When he got done, he just stepped down. He goes, go for it. I'm like, oh, I can't talk. If my mom knew I dropped an F-bomb in front of people, oh, I got my ass kicked. But yeah, it was pretty cool. So she hits me up for a donation. And I'm thinking, but she's really articulate.
Yeah.
She writes her letters are really cool. So she hit me up and I caved.
I mean, I'm looking at her website. She's got so many great stickers on here. We sell a bunch online too.
They're some of our best sellers at the
store. Yeah, we've sold a ton of her stickers.
At the cash wrap.
They're fun. I mean, it's hard to be unique anymore, but some of these are unique.
Yeah.
I mean, they're cool. I kind of like the idea of the fly chasing the fish.
So go Olivia. That's what I put in.
Check out OliviaMayDesigns.com.
That's what mine is.
Yeah.
Sex dungeon chasing a brown trout.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I don't know. There's some sort of deeper meaning there. Also, mm-hmm. Did you know I didn't say fuck yet?
Good job.
Thanks. All right. You want to do band of the week? Are we doing that anymore?
Sure.
Chris had one.
Oh, I know what it was. I remember from 3 weeks ago. Elvis. I've never said Elvis.
Yeah, no.
I just watched a bunch of Elvis movies last week.
Nice.
They just happened to be on one of the stupid channels. And I actually saw one I've never seen. And I can't remember what it's called.
Did he star in them?
No, I have seen it.
Are these movies about Elvis?
Are you shitting me? What is wrong with you? Dude, generation should be punched in the mouth.
I was born in 97.
I don't care. Go back in time. Watch some Elvis. Greatest.
I'm busy watching.
Corniest shit you've ever watched in your life. And
I watched an old Bond movie.
And he's a karate guy in Latin too, right? And he's always the tough guy, always the perfect guy.
Right. No, I think all the old Bond movies are on Netflix right now, so I watched Live and Let Die the other night. It is so corny. It's unbelievable.
Not so old, that one.
That's 73.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, a lot before that.
All right.
Who's your favorite Bond? That's a good question. Write it in. Sean Connery, hands down.
Yeah,
don't care.
It's got to be Sean Connery. Why does everybody hate?
People like to hate. It's a simple answer.
Yeah, true. Pierce Brosnan. Why does everybody hate Pierce Brosnan? I don't
know
much about
Because you've got
him.
Sean Connery, and then you've got Pierce Brosnan. Right. And it just doesn't work.
All right. Well, I grew up on the Daniel Craig James Bond movies.
Yeah, I watched. Got halfway through one of those before I realized it was a James Bond movie. Because
it doesn't. They still got the pretty women and the. But the scene where they strap him down to that wicker chair and they like whip his balls. You remember that?
No.
Oh God, it scarred me bad. I watched that when I was young, like 19.
When you were young.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Right. I'm an old dog now, Kelly. I'm older than the hills themselves.
Yep.
All right. My band of the week, I'm going to do one that Chris put me on because we forgot to do band of the week when he was here. And the band Kingfisher, and I think the EP is called Kingfisher. Good tunes.
EP?
EP. Somebody tell me what EP stands for. It's like, you know, like...
There's like signature...
There's like an LP and an EP.
Oh.
What does music EP stand for? Extended play.
Oh. We're actually watching you do this on a podcast.
This is what we call good podcasting. All right, let's wrap it up.
All right. Thank you very much. Sorry if we got pretty long-winded on those about the sponsors and stuff, but they're really cool, and it's going to help us do a lot of stuff. And that question in the swivel is perfect. Ask more like that.
Yeah.
More fish stuff.
We'll do the techie stuff.
Right,
We'll do the techie stuff next week.
Yeah, just kind of roll.
Yeah.
I love that stuff.
All right. Thanks for watching. See ya.
Yep. See you next week.